morning to you and honorable members. Good morning. And we thank you for giving us the opportunity to come here today to present our first quarter report. What we come next is here, our first quarter. Most of the time when we look at our programs and we just according to the academic year. And the first quarter is the national calendar year, which is April to June. Yet when we came before to present our fourth quarter,
which was first academic year. So we must understand that there will be that thing that will make like you presented this. Why now are you presenting it? Because it's overlapping. Yes. But generally, maybe to start with the issues that I can highlight, which might be part of the report itself, that our minister, together with the ambassador Sisulu, they officially handed over a new kitchen in a primary school, and we encourage partnerships as a department because our resources are not enough to cater for all our competing priorities and the needs of our people. And the Department of Basic Education officially handed over 22 new toilets. As the chair would know, that we have also elevated that priority of sanitation. So we handed over these 22 new toilets in Mahlungu Primary School in the OR Tambo Inland District, Eastern Cape Province. We did that on the 2nd of April this year, and the minister, together with the ambassador, they did that on the 4th of April to hand over the new kitchen. We wish to have more money to build kitchens in all our schools, but as more partners, and would also request that if members go outside and find people that are able to help, they must also invite them to come and help the department. Minister in that also handed in accreditation certificates to the food handlers, the volunteers, because those people are volunteering from 13 schools in Alexander in the Gauteng province to acknowledge their sterling contribution towards education. After the sixth administration on the 8th of May, Mrs. Montserrat, I'm reporting for the MD, was appointed as a new Department of Basic Education. Yes, as a new minister. Again. And if you can go to records, this is a record in South Africa. There's no minister who occupied one portfolio for that term. And it means there is something good the minister is doing, though some people might not see, but South Africa in general, they see that Minister Mtsheha is doing a good work for the Department of Education. You can look at the reports, the annual reports, and the APPs over the years. Then it will tell you that the quality of education is improving in South Africa because of Minister Mtsheha. That's why I would love that we join hands and congratulate our minister. And number two, the deputy minister was appointed. Deputy Minister Regina Mhaule. The deputy minister was appointed. And I'm so privileged and honored to work with Minister Mtsheha and to be part to work with this portfolio committee under your chairpersonship, Chair. I'm so privileged. I'm a brand new deputy minister from the board. I'm giving the report of the first quarter, ne? The elections were held in May during the first quarter, under which we are giving the report. Chair. Yes. So, as this new team in the Department of Education, we are working based on the 25-year review and see how best can we improve. And we really appreciate the committee that the department under these two new leaders in basic education cannot have eyes everywhere, but members of this committee have eyes also, which will complement the eyes of the minister and the deputy minister. And we are looking forward to constructive and progressive working together with this committee. Chair, when we present, there is a matter that I feel that I need to just highlight, because the teacher will present in all the programs. Like, we always say that we have five programs. Then, but under program one, administration, we have what is called legal and legislative services. There's a case that is against the minister, South African Democratic Teachers Union, and others, not only this union, versus Minister of Basic Education. So they brought an application requesting that the Western Cape Education Bill be declared unconstitutional, but the matter is still in the court. So I'm just highlighting this so that as members we must know when some of the legal and legislative services matters are presented. Chair, we learned as a country with really regret and the killing of women and students in our institution of higher learning. Really, it's something that as a country we condemn with all serious, strongest point. And as South Africans, male and female must stand together to protect women and children, because of the just incident of a child that was abducted just by the gates at home, and we thank God the child is back, and our students is not back, but at least the perpetrators are under the security system of our country. And the killing of our teacher, who is also in the boxing industry, we really feel bad as a sector, that yes, not only as a sector, but in South Africa, that condemn this. So we want to appeal to the committee to join us in condemning this act of barbaric that is done by some men in this country, not all men. Chair, let me give this opportunity to the DG to make the formal presentation.
Thank you, DM, for the overview, and thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Chair, I have 130 slides, as against 37 slides of the AG. I'm not complaining. I'll make sure that I finish within the required time. I hope somewhere, Chair, you'll ask us whether we are not intimidated by the AG. So honorable members will ask us. As the Deputy Minister indicated, this is the first quarterly report of the 2019-2020 financial year. Part A will look at performance indicators against the set targets, and part two will look at the expenditure in the first quarter. The purpose is to report what we have done against the predetermined objectives and targets, and of course also to report on the quarterly expenditure for the year under review. Performance indicators and targets, I'll just hit the punchline in the interest of saving time. The Deputy Minister has already covered the toilets, and I had Honorable King whispering in my ear that the toilets are beautiful and elegant. So I thought that I must convey that. So the issue of the kitchen also in terms of NSNP has also been covered by the Deputy Minister, including the food handlers, has also been covered by the Deputy Minister, and the reappointment of the Minister and the appointment of the Deputy Minister has also been covered. Safe to say that in terms of this quota under review, we also looked at the 25-year review of the education sector, looking at achievements and challenges, but engaging with stakeholders on reflecting on this. What is also important is that the National Senior Certificate and the Senior Certificate May-June exams commenced on the 2nd of May and completed on the 14th of June. This was the exam of the first exam of its own kind, a combined old certificate and the national senior certificate, and the numbers just increased, and the numbers are indicated there in the interest of time. I will also not get into the details of the numbers because they are before us. Also what is important is information around learner unit record information. And we are saying by June we're able to upload 9.2 million out of 12 million learners from 21,938 schools. But also what is also important is three successful lunchbox Lakota seminar which were held at TBE. These Makota discuss matters that are topical and pertinent in the sector. They are hosted in our premises at TBE. 18th June, we also launched the SmartGov e-submission system where we have digitized our business processes. We're able to consider submissions wherever we might be. And if you use any gadget or have any gadget or equipment such as a laptop and so on, you'd be able to access submissions and consider them. The programs that we have are five, as the Deputy Minister indicated. This is outcome one, improving the quality of basic education and action plan to 2019 to our schooling 2030. But of course, we're still reporting it in terms of the old because we are in a process of changing that. Chair, I want to deal with this slide and the slide that follows simultaneously in the interest of time, because I'm chasing on finishing on time. I'm analyzing the data. If you look at the overall performance, it will say, in terms of the year under review, we're at 82%, a percentage lower than last year, overall. That's the overall picture. But let me bring to the attention of the Honorable Committee that the indicators, you have 47 indicators for last financial year. This financial year is 43. But if you look at the annual indicators, last year you had 33, this year you've got 24. If you look at the quarterly indicators, last year you had 12, this year you've got 17, and that's significant. If you look at the real achievement in terms of the details of the figures, it means this quarter quarterly targets compared to last financial year's quarterly targets, we had achieved 23% by this time, quarterly targets last year. It's in the table, the first table. And then if you compare it with this year, it says this year we have achieved 40%. And I must also bring to the attention of the committee that, for instance, quarter three last financial year had two indicators. This year has got six, which means it's got, four more. I meant program three, sorry, not quarter three, program three. If you look at program four had no quarterly targets last year, and this year has got three. So essentially, if you look at the details, it means that we have performed better than last year. If you look at the overall picture, it would say that we are slightly down by 1% compared to last year. And I think those details are significant. I then jump, because I've summarized all of those, the slides that follows, those slides that follow, including the pie chart. I've explained them in terms of the details that I've provided. I then move to program one. Program one, it's about management of the department and providing strategic direction and administrative support. Well, in terms of the indicator 1.1, we've achieved with a slight variance of 0.1. And what follows is an annual indicator, so time will tell how we are going to perform. And the next slide simply provides some information regarding activities that the Director General engaged in, and the information is provided. What follows is just pictures to confirm as portfolio of evidence of the work that we refer to. And the next slide, also 16, is the same in terms of the activities which were carried out by the Director General. And the pictures can correlate the text that is provided there. Human resource management and development, corporate services, we're simply providing information of the posts that were available, the advertisements, and those that were filled. Furthermore, we also provided more information in terms of the support that was provided to the ministry. And the next one is about training and social responsibilities, activities that employees of the department got involved in, which included celebrating Africa Day, health and wellness activities, and the number of officials who were involved there. Labor relations. Those are the activities that we carried out, being able to meet the required time frames, both in terms of arbitration and disputes that are lodged. JITO, we've reported in the fourth quarterly report that we had the system revamped, our information system revamped. That continued in the first quarterly report, and we are providing more information in terms of some of the activities that informed the revamping of the system to strengthen our information system there. Financial services, the usual reconciliation that happens on month-to-month basis and consolidation of the documents, supporting documents, making sure that we meet the requirements of paying our creditors within 30 days that was carried out. And of course the monthly reconciliation that I've referred to, and preparing the annual financial statement which the AG was waiting for to inform the audit process which has been carried out, and the audit report is ready, and I think at the right time we'll come and present here. And may I also indicate that in terms of the management report, what we usually do when we report on the audit year under review, we include key elements of the audit report and indicate how we intend to deal with identified challenges, and that is also detailed in the audit action plan, as the AG correctly pointed out. And that action plan is shared with the committee so that information is made available. Asset and security management. Of course, what has happened is that we have engaged with those activities that are indicated there. What is significant was to provide support to the team, the intervention team in the Northwest, to ensure that they are also secured. As honorable members would know, that when the teams were first sent to the Northwest, the issue of security was addressed by the interministerial task team, and we had to make sure that they are secured, the team members that are working in the Northwest. Logistical services, we are providing base activities that took place there, not many, about three meetings that took place in terms of the quarter under review. and just a continuation of the activities that took place under logistical services, legal services. Of course, the issue that involves the minister and Pestalozzi Trust, which is about home education, and I'm sure Honorable Machesi would be very interested in this one. As she indicated in the past that she would like to get details in this regard. This body is actually challenging the home education policy, and there are specific tenets of the policy that they are challenging there, which are indicated as 1, 2, and 3 in the presentation. But we are absolutely certain that we have done what needed to be done, but it's up to courts to indicate if there are gaps or glitches that we need to plug on to strengthen the home education policy. And the other one is the one that DM has eloquently covered, a matter involving the Western Cape Education Act, which SADU took the minister and the Western Cape Department of Education to court around 5 provisions of the Western Cape Education Act, which should be declared unconstitutional. May I also indicate that some of those provisions actually go against the existing provisions of the South African Schools Act. But yes, I think it's important to know that the Intergovernmental Framework Act doesn't allow any sphere of government to take another sphere of government to court, but provides for mediation. We have opted for mediation for provisions of the Act that we do not agree on with the Western Cape Education Department, which means that effectively we're not supporting SADU because the law doesn't allow us to do that. But we have opted to provide an explanatory affidavit where we'll indicate how we have engaged with the Western Cape Education Department and how we are dealing with this matter, because we are not allowed to take each other to court, and we will not be going to court either to defend or to fight against the matter, but we use the arbitration which the law says we must do. I thought I must just add that to what DM has already explained. Then the next one is the Center for Child Law. It's a matter of that is significant to this committee, significant to current developments in the country. This organization is challenging the Department of Basic Education and the Department of the Eastern Cape based on the circular which was issued by the Department of the Eastern Cape to say they will not allow for transfers to schools for learners who do not have a valid identity document or a permit or a passport. So essentially, this organization is saying, no, let it be free for all. Allow even undocumented and learners who happen to be children of illegal migrants to also benefit from the education system of South Africa. We are on record to have indicated the extent to which such possibilities could actually drain the resources of the country. The Honorable Deputy Minister has got more than enough experience to even explain to this committee as to what happens to children coming from Swaziland, coming from Mozambique, beginning of the academic year, to just come and collect stationery and collect textbooks that are given free in South Africa and go back to their countries. And that's what is happening to taxpayers' money in this country. And it happens in health as well. So I'm just saying that's what is involved in that case. The courts have not ruled as yet, but the bottom line is what is involved. The Bella Bill, we are just giving a progress report on consolidating submissions. And I'm sure at the right time we'll come back to the committee once the submissions have been consolidated to give the committee the opportunity to engage with those submissions before we take the bill to Parliament for Parliament to now consider it for finality in terms of amendment. We've also listed some of the stakeholders that we want to engage with in this light. strategic planning activities included, of course, the APP 2019-2020, including APPs, of course, of entities as indicated there, which involved even tabling at the level of Parliament, validating the third quarter and preliminary fourth quarterly reports, as well as the draft annual report, and other, you know, similar documents that needed to be submitted either to DPME, National Treasury, and including the Auditor General. Again, Chair, that is just a continuation of the work that has been done by Strategic Planning Research and Coordination, and we are also indicating, you know, the work on the school monitoring survey, which comes from the previous financial year, as well as issues related to early grade reading too, which involve the provinces that are indicated there, including early grade mathematics project. Training activities that are indicated with the figures that are provided there, the reading support program, which also got carried out in terms of the number of schools indicated, the districts in the Northwest as indicated there as part of taking forward the EGRS work, including the review of lesson plans and providing inputs for effective utilization. Again, just a continuation of the work of the strategic planning research and coordination there, detailing activities that the line function got involved in, and I'm just going to move over, including the meetings, coordinating meetings, ministers meeting or ministerial management team meetings, broad management retreat sessions, two of them, and we are just indicating some of the meetings that did not take place, and this is the breakdown of what happened there. QLTC, we're also providing some of the activities that were carried out under QLTC, including the National Social Compact approach in terms of the sixth administration. Then the next program, which is program two, this is to develop curriculum and assessment policy and monitor and support the implementation. These are annual targets, so essentially nothing expected at this stage. And then I move to 2.4.1, achieved with a slight variance of 1, to 2.4.2, achieved with no deviation there, 2.5.1, achieved with no variation or deviation, 2.5.2 has not been achieved, this activity. So this is one indicator that we have not achieved, and we'll do everything possible that when we come back next time, we ensure that we report something positive in this regard. This is the annual indicator as well, by annual indicator, and just a summary in terms of general education and training, entrepreneurship, which is cardinal to re-engineering the basic education sector, the activities that took place, and teachers who went through this training, and the main focus has been project-based learning, so that it's not only about theory, but the learners are able to demonstrate the knowledge that they have gained from entrepreneurship. And we link it to EMS as the relevant subject offerings for grade 7 to 9, as well as grade 4 to 6, including life orientation, grade 10 to 12. Right, LTSM, starting with workbooks. These are workbooks that we are delivering in 2019 for use in 2020. And we're just indicating that the printing started during this quarter. And the delivery started from June, and we are expecting to conclude delivery by October, on or before the end of October. It included providing support for IOL, incremental introduction of African languages, South African Sign Language. In terms of math, science, and technology, these are the activities that we carried out, training sessions, schools that we visited, the underperforming districts as well, which were targeted, curriculum innovation, digital content development and distribution, as well as conducting workshops and monitoring, and we indicating schools and the provinces that were involved there. And again, it's a continuation of e-learning in Northwest and Western Cape, activities that were carried out, and specific schools or the number of schools that were involved, as well as ICT teacher development and subject advisors that were exposed and benefited from this in the Eastern Cape, as indicated in the presentation. The next one is about rural education a program. We are indicating activities which include the assistance, teacher assistance that are provided in the schools to provide support, the resources that were also provided to the schools and the provinces that are involved are at the moment KZN, Eastern Cape and Limpopo. The intention is to extend this to the rest of the country, but as indicated, a framework is being developed so that when that happens, then we are informed by that framework. Inclusive education, and I'm sure Honorable Van der Walt will be very excited about this one. We're indicating the details of the activities that involve the implementation of the SIAS policy, and we're providing details in terms of the officials and teachers who benefited from activities which were carried out. Much more important is the grant on the learners with severe and profound intellectual disabilities. And the information that we have, Chair, is that this grant is now performing at its best ever. We've gone over the interval expenditure target of 25%. And the line function manager responsible for grants said to us, the grant is now up and running. And of course, the iterant outreach is also provided there in terms of information. FET, the activities that took place in the nine districts, and we indicating that in Limpopo and Eastern Cape, these are the specific activities that took place there. And we also include activities that involve accounting and business studies. Honorable Chairperson, we are splitting the question papers for accounting and business studies. We started last year with grade 10. This year is grade 11. Next year we're moving to grade 12. And experts tell us that this will help learners to manage these papers much better. For IEB, these papers have been split for many years, and we think that even our learners who write under the department as the examining body should also be given the opportunity to benefit from what learners from IEB have been benefiting. Monitoring of winter schools, 160 centers have been monitored by the team. Early childhood development, in terms of targeted practitioners, we've exceeded the target by far by performing at 152%. May I also indicate that the issue of the function shift of ECD is going very well. The technical teams that are operating under the leadership of Dr. Maboya have been preparing accordingly. The two ministers have met, Minister from Social Development and Basic Education, and they've agreed to come up with a concept note to inform the direction about the function shift, which will help to deal with the confusion that exists at the moment. The concept note has been developed. The two ministers are due to meet to finalize it, and I hope that it will provide direction once and for all. Some of the activities which involve the National Education Collaboration Trust are also provided there. The implementation of early grade reading assessment, incremental introduction of African languages, the training of the officials, and which involved 9 provinces, reading plan. We now have a reading plan with 9 pillars or 9 strands. And of course, we also include the primary school reading intervention program, which is carried out under the NECT. Program 3, which is about promotion of quality teaching, institutional development and performance through effective supply, development and utilization of human resources. These are annual targets from 3.1.1 and 3.3.1 up to 3.3.4 has been achieved with no deviation or variation. 3.4.1 to 3.4.2 has also been achieved, 3.4.2 with a slight minus variation of 1. And then the summary there is that we've seen the monitoring of the Integrated Quality Management System, IQMS, taking place in the Western Cape and Gauteng, and also monitoring the Skills Development and Performance Management Development System in KwaZulu-Natal. Feedback on the monitoring of the visit was provided, as well as PEDs identified 152,603 educators to be developed in terms of personal growth plan for 2019. And the training sessions for the provinces that are indicated there. Of course, monitoring the post-provisioning norm, ensuring that provinces meet the deadline, all 9 of them. Of course, looking at a total of 2,386 preliminary figures covering April, May 2019, young qualified educators which were appointed in post in PEDs. As indicated in the fourth quarterly report, the percentages have now increased to 67%, as we reported in the fourth quarterly report. And then the education labor relations and conditions of service, consultative processes and protocol documents, second round of the amendments of the PEM document, initial teacher education, as indicated there, those are the figures of the buzzards which were awarded in terms of the first quarter for this year under review. Supported also the Department of Higher Education and Training project to strengthen the capacity of teacher educators and lecturers in teaching of reading isiZulu and Sesotho in the foundation phase and intermediate phase. And then the next one is education management, governance and development. These are the activities that we carried out there, which included continuing also professional development, the development of guidelines, even for grade R qualification upgrade, the implementation of EDCOM resolutions around the TUC. Teacher development resources, and these are the activities including the assessment of math and physical science through Siavula online platform, teacher development, implementation, provision of training manuals pre and post test. Those are some of the activities that took place, and also some of the activities which took place in partnership with the NECT, as indicated there. Curriculum research, three non-viable teacher centers have been relocated, and these teacher centers are in Limpopo, KZN, and Free State, and deployment of six ICT intends to six teacher centers, which affects the Free State, and the districts of the Free State are indicated there, including KZN and the district, as well as the Eastern Cape and the relevant district. Finalization of Vodacom SEM processes, refreshing 10 teacher centers with ICT equipment, and planning of the training of center managers, finalized and reporting the tool shared with PEDs. LTSM policy development and innovation, a teacher toolkit aimed at simplifying the professional development framework for digital learning and to assist teachers in the implementation has been developed. The DBE developed new, adopted, and existing teacher course to support the teacher toolkit and revise the teacher toolkit app and the teaching change frame app, as well as the introduced digital learning and competencies app. Continuing on that one, mainly around PRS IP, we're providing those activities and the figures of the teachers and subject advisors who have been benefited. The National Reading Coalition is one of the major activities that you are reporting for. The last but one program, Program 4, Planning, Information, and Assessment. Chair, this is the program that received three new quarterly indicators which were not there before, and that is significant to indicate well in advance. The first indicators are annual indicators. 4.2.1 has been achieved. This is indicator number one, which is brand new quarterly indicator which was not there before. We have underachieved in that indicator, and it has to do with sanitation. The explanation that I can proffer is that the money for the SAFE program was initially allocated under Education Infrastructure Grant, EIG, which is transferred to provinces. And when we approached Treasury to locate it under ASIDI, that change only happened in February 2019. We had to write to Treasury to approve the implementing agents and the appointment of implementing agents and the allocation of 606 schools could only happen in May 2019. We are confident some of these projects are delivered only in 3 months. By December, we'll be talking about delivery that has happened under many of these projects, which are about building toilets. It's not the whole school, it's only the building of toilets to 606 schools. Takes three, at the most, 6 months. So this money must be used in this financial year. In fact, our view is that we are approaching Treasury to allocate more for the next financial year, or in during the budget adjustment in December, give us more money, because we are not going to have enough. We want to finish to make sure that instead of 3 years, in 2 years, there is no school with a pit latrine in the Republic of South Africa. And the same applies to indicator number 4.2.3, and this is about water through ASIDI. So it's part of the water and sanitation projects that are allocated there, which has not been achieved. Annual target, no report is expected on that. And the summary of this is that the systemic evaluation, which replaces the annual national assessment will now be administered. Preparations have been made. The pilot project has happened. And we are also referring the Honorable Committee and the Honorable Chair to the diagnostic assessment and the development of the test items for grade 3, 6 and 9. And I'm sure Honorable Members are now happy that we'll now have this administered on a 3-year basis, as indicated in the grades that are going to be covered. And this actually involved preparations, which included a field trial of early learning national assessment. Early learning national assessment is going to afford us a credible tool that we can use before learners start in grade 1 to determine whether learners are school ready. Most countries do that, so that you know whether your ECD program is preparing learners for school readiness or not, or whether you need to strengthen your early childhood development program to ensure that learners are prepared before they start real schooling in grade 1. I thought I must just emphasize that point there, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. International studies, the TALIS report has been released. I indicated when we presented the fourth quarterly report that we'll be more than happy to come and present the report to the Honorable Committee and Honorable Members. It's got incredible data which give us the status of the performance and the functionality of our teaching or teachers in the system. A preparation for the SIGMEC and also preparation for the end of the year exam, October, November, mainly there, and of course we also were involved in activities of the combined examination that I referred to earlier on. Provincial visits and review of evaluation of the national examination system have been taking place. Marking and standardization, as indicated earlier on, from the 10th of May to the 18th of June of the exams that I've referred to earlier on. Quality assurance of the marking of the 2019 June examination, as indicated below. But also the marking of, as I've explained, of the senior certificate and the national senior certificate with moderators and deployed in marking centers for, as indicated there. These marking sessions terminated on the 5th of July, but as indicated, they started in terms of the quota under review. Again, providing more information in terms of preparing for the end of the year exams, as well as deployment of ICT in exams to modernize our exams, to make sure that our exam also becomes smart in keeping with the fourth industrial revolution. Data management, indicating the grades as provided there, 3, 6, 9 and 12, which has been collected for 7 provinces. Education management information, low reads, we're providing detailed information in terms of what happened there. And continuing with education management information systems, which includes the engagement of principal association workshop on SASMs, as indicated there. SAIS was also engaged. SAIS maintenance and the development of SASMs rather. NSC registration, making use of SASMs and CIMIS in 6 provinces as indicated there, and collection of learner performance data for PED's warehouse for grade 3, 6, 9 and 12. And this data we are going to use as part of the evidence-based report which will be provided to Umalusi, and also to help us to monitor the system periodically, just to demonstrate that our focus is not only on grade 12, but we also focus on lower grades. We're also reporting on the national table for targets for school allocation, and we've stretched it for 3 years this time around. The 2019 office school list has gazetted rationalization and closure of small schools, and the provinces are indicated there. Financial planning and provincial budget monitoring, we're providing information on activities of budget monitoring that took place, and we're also providing information in terms of analyzing the allocation for the 2019 MTEF. And the table that appears on the screen provides detailed information in terms of the number of schools that benefited and the number of learners. Honorable Chairperson, out of 12 million learners in South Africa, 9.6 million learners, parents or guardians don't have to pay school fees in South Africa. Grant management, we providing information there in terms of the grants that were considered, and interfacing with the relevant structures that are managing grants there. And economic analysis, activities that were carried out there under that major activity are also covered, and the reporting that was done in terms of the analysis that was carried out. UNESCO, we also just covering the activities that are covered under UNESCO, major activities there that took place through different parts of the country in terms of UNESCO. International relations and multilateral affairs, we just providing information on cooperation agreement with Kenya and ministers' participation in various fora, in SADC and other fora there. And of course, the joint activities which were carried out by DBE and other partners. One significant one is African Girls Can Code Initiative Camp. Well, these indicators, I mean, this is just, sorry, not indicators, activities, or rather a table detailing partnerships, the value and the scope of each partnership, and we've provided that in the slides that follow. The next one is planning and delivery oversight. These are the activities that I carried out at district planning, implementation and support, providing the requisite support to districts, circuits and provinces, as indicated in the slide there. And the activities continue to indicate that these are the number of districts that were covered, managers that were involved, groups of managers that participated, school principal satisfaction survey, which is very important to give us feedback on how principals encounter the support services provided by districts. And of course the mentors that were appointed to provide support to the district there. Limpopo is one of the beneficiary provinces, as well as Ikukuni East. And again, it's just providing more details in terms of the activities on school planning, implementation and support, including dealing with issues of protest which disrupt learning, like it happened in Vuyani, and the Human Rights Commission said we must come up with measures to make sure that we have early warning systems, we've got measures to deal with disruptions of this nature. The call center, we are also providing detailed information on how we dealt with the call center. The coordination that we continue to do in the system, school readiness, in preparing for the reopening of the school calendar year, which happened also, you know, in terms of the report and so on, in terms of the quota under review. NIDU, which continues to provide incredibly valuable information. This activity flows from the fourth quarterly report. It's just a continuation of what happened then. Here it included schools of learners with special education needs. And again, I'm sure Honorable Van der Walt will be very happy to learn that we included learners with special education needs here as well. The last program, this one is about developing policies and programs to improve quality of learning in schools. 5.1.1 achieved with a positive variance of 6, and then the next one, 5.2.2, achieved with a whopping positive variance of 736, which is the biggest positive variance. 5.3.1, positive variance of 8, and here we are saying National School Nutrition Program, 36 monitoring and evaluation visits were achieved against the target of 30, and we provide more details in terms of other activities. Health promotion, standard operation procedures for the provision of sexual and reproductive health services in secondary schools were also approved, and the DBE also carried out joint activities involving SADC ministers, nine business plans approved, and co-hosted satellite sessions on the national, on the South African National AIDS Council, and the request for tablets for 2020 submitted to World Health Organization and signed off by the Department of Health. Psychosocial support, we indicate in provinces and activities that we carried out. A continuation of the activities, including the symposium, 42 participants attending DBE hosting professional assault response training workshop, as indicated there. And again, activities continue, partnership in education, school safety, and of course 20 districts monitored the rollout of the National School Safety Framework. Social cohesion, gender equity, National School Moot Court, a host of activities including Nkosi Albert Luthuli Oral History Program, which involved those activities there, and a continuation of the social cohesion and gender equity ministerial task team on the evaluation of textbooks, certain biases that are identified from the textbooks, the ministerial task team carrying out those activities. Jamboree for Future Choices, it's one of the major activities there. The launch of the Boy Vulnerability Study, the advocacy for the Bill of Rights and Responsibilities, the National ABC Mutsepe, South African School Choral Eisteddfort, which is one of our flagships. It involved 1,589 learners who participated in this. School enrichment in education, again, we're reporting on the National ABC Mutsepe Sasuke Championships and Provincial ABC Mutsepe Sasuke reading clubs, and Part B, which is expenditure share, from 24.5 billion, 82% of that budget going, which is an amount of 20 billion, is allocated for transfer payments and is detailed as indicated below. And in terms of program performance, program one is within the required expenditure intervals. Program two is below and the explanation is provided. Program three, it's way above because of the transfers. Program four, Of course, also above, also because of some of the transfers. And program 5 is above, and overall we are at 33.9%. That shouldn't give an indication that we will overspend. We're giving progress there and providing an explanation. I've explained about workbooks. I've also explained about the grant on learners with profound intellectual disabilities. MST grant underperforming, but this is the first quarter. And I'm also explaining the huge jump in expenditure due to once-off transfers. Economic classification, compensation of employees more or less on course in terms of what is expected. Of course, goods and services, many of the activities that are linked to that are still to be carried out. And then, of course, interest and rent, it's up, but it's well on course. The same applies to transfers and subsidies. And of course, payments for capital assets as well. Well, the explanation that is provided there, for instance, for program 2, the second chance program, we're just indicating that there are activities which should improve the performance of that program, and one of them is LTSM under second chance program. And we're providing more information there. And also explaining for under expenditure under that program as it links to the second chance program. And then program 4, in respect of the SAFE program, I provided a detailed explanation earlier on, which is also in line with what is provided there, Chair. And then we're also providing an explanation next to payments for financial assets. And then allocation against actual expenditure, of course, the explanation that I provided still obtains nothing really new. Just to indicate that transfers, of course, in certain instances is 100%, because some of it is once off, some of it is in part, as indicated there, and again providing more information. Earmarked funds, of course this is the first quarter, and much of that doesn't show much expenditure, but it's still within the first quarter of the financial year. We should be able to spend that as expected. This is the explanation we provided before. And then transfer to public entities, I think that explains the spike, if you like, or the high expenditure because of transfers that have happened there. But it's not necessarily expenditure, but it's just transfers. And we're providing an explanation there in terms of public entities. And we are saying this is within the schedule. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, DG. Honourable members, that's the first quarterly report presentation. I think by now we all have an understanding of what DBE is all about. At least we have the annual report, the fourth quarterly report, and the first quarterly report. At least we've got an understanding of the programs that they have and how are they functioning. Let me then hand over to you, members, Honorable Murwa Tsetla, Honorable Matesu, Honorable Van der Waalt, Honorable Suela, Sukar Atuan, in that order.
Madam Chairperson, thank you very much. I think for starters,
let us say we welcome and appreciate the good work done in reporting. The good work done in reporting availability of the Department of Basic Education and the reporting. Number one, Chairperson, I think it's in program two where the Director General spoke about monitoring of winter schools. The report, according to how it's captured, says they managed to monitor 160, they are saying schools. I think they wanted to say centers, but in any case, the correct version it should be with them. My worry here is, as and when they talk about monitoring those centers or those schools, it's unfortunate they have not said what is it that their observation is. But I want to ask a question. How, during their monitoring, were they able to address the question of learners who have to travel for long distances gunning for one center as identified? And how is the department trying to do so? Because in the main, you will find that even those learners do not even have transportation means. I have seen instances where some schools ended up withdrawing their kids from benefiting from this winter school enrichment programs because of the first challenge of transportation, of taking those learners to the centers as identified. Number two, I think it also falls under program two. It's on page 23. There is a red indicator there wherein the Director General just said we couldn't accomplish that, and we promise that when we come next time we will come with a positive response. I tried to take my four eyes here to see what is it, but it is written in faint line as if it was deliberate for us not to see what is it that was not accomplished. Even my four eyes could not assist me. I thought maybe you could have some opportunity to explain what is it that they failed to accomplish in those faint handwriting there. That is number two. Number three, I think this one falls under program one, the post-provisioning norms. Honorable Deputy Minister and the Director General, together with your team, what do we have got any uniformity from this level, at national level, at DBE, with regard to this post-provisioning norms? I'm saying so because many a times each province does as it wishes, and it often end up creating an unnecessary controversy, because you will realize that others are determining this and that once in every year, others is twice, others is three, once in 3 years. This confusion, because you see, September, as we are now, is the time for determination, and our expectation is that by the end of the year, the process should have been wrapped up so that come January, the subsequent year, those who shall have been declared to be in excesses, educators who shall have been declared to be in excesses, they should just right away move to the new schools. But you will find that even in January, February, determinations are going on. What's the role of the department at this level in trying to arrest that? The last question, Madam Chairperson, with due respect, the last question is on the Presidential Commission with regard to the remuneration of public servants, with particular references to teachers. how far away. There is an outcry there. They want to know. And some of them are phoning us, given the level where we are operating now. How far are we on this promise, which our people are highly expecting? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to say I'm glad that the department eventually has decided to provide breakfast to some learners. The Western Cape has been doing it for years now. But I know that, you know, the department is a little bit slow. They're slow learners, but, you know, they're catching up. Thank you.
But we're doing it very well.
Okay. Thank you, DG, for the presentation. I want to find out, you know, we're talking about, it's actually very interesting that you're speaking about the ECD learners will be assessed for them to be able to get to the mainstream schooling. But we still have an issue of our teachers themselves who don't want to be assessed. I saw that you presented on the PDMS of teachers. But when it comes to performance contracts, annual national assessment, competency tests for teachers, I didn't see you presenting that or saying where are we on that. Also, the other issue is the fact that you mentioned the national certificate and the national senior certificate, you know, the examination. But this weekend, we discovered progress learners that out of, I think it was out of, I'm just getting my figures here, out of 78,000 learners, only 6,320 passed, so which is basically 8% of those learners. I didn't see you reporting on that. And the other issue that I wanted to actually bring up after the auditors left, you know, there are auditors in provinces that are being intimidated. Auditors in the provinces are being intimidated and their phones are being tapped. They are unable to, you know, to basically report truly, because if your life is threatened, you can't really be able to do your work. It is something that I just wanted to point out. The other issue is the LURIDS. I see that you're saying that about 9 million learners have been added to your LURIDS, which is good. But now I just want to find out, what is it able to do? What can you assess if I go into the LURIDS? What is it? What information will I be able to get about learners? Thank you. Just forgot one thing. Forgot one other question. You mentioned also interesting NEDU. I don't recall receiving a report from NEDU. Actually, I don't even know what is their mandate and who is the CEO of NEDU and when's the last time they actually provided us with a report. Thank you.
Chair, thank you. In brief, first of all, the markers for the exams, I would like to know if everything is in place, that we don't have a repeat of every other year where they aren't paid in time, sometimes up to February, March and the new year. And then I have two questions, which I find very interesting. SAIS gave us a report, I think last week, on the issue of, let's call it, clearance certificates from SAPS, and they came with stats from January to June this year. And I asked specifically, what about teachers that aren't new, that are incumbents over many, many years? And I was responded to by something like, it can't go backwards. Now, I find it very strange that anywhere in the world you have a law, it stays in place till there's a new law, then the new law's in place. So if I'm a teacher for 30 years and I happen to have raped or whatever, am I now cleared? Because I didn't come after January. So that register of that type of, well, I don't know what to call it, but what are we doing about teachers that have been in the system for a long, long time when there wasn't such a recording on you so that we know which teachers have those things against them? And also, if you find children, and I can quote from an example a week or two ago, we found a child that has been forced to leave school. What is course? Expelled for a moment, my Afrikaans took over. He was expelled from 3 or 4 schools, but he's got to be in school. Where do we take a child? Like, for example, in Limpopo, there isn't a place where you can take that child. And what is, do you work through a social worker only? Can we get a list of those type of schools? And Chairperson, then just on implementing agents, I think there's still a concern on who are they, where are they, you know, have a set of criteria for appointing them, and will we be able to get such a list? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Perhaps let me also welcome the report. Just on the issue of the registration of learners in public schools, there is always an issue of the registration of learners without documents or with documents. At this stage, I suppose that there should be a clear directive from the department. Are learners without documents registered or not? If so, why should we have a situation where a provincial department will have to issue a circular regarding that, and at some point being taken up to court? And I made to understand that South Africa is not a federal republic, and it would seem that education is being federalized here. Each PED or provincial department is seemingly doing its own thing. I suppose there should be one policy that governs that all. The second thing that I want to raise is regarding the performance of teachers and the like. Of course, we have seen over the years that there has been improvement in the outcomes of matric results. And we recently read that that comes at a great cost. Are these teachers who put all the effort, are they being rewarded and satisfied for all the effort that they put in place, the days that they go to work, of which they were not supposed to be there, but all in the name of getting a good outcome? So there is so much pressure, and they put so much effort. They go all out to achieve that. Do you perhaps, over and above the salary that they get, do you incentivize them? Because directors are given performance bonuses, I suppose. Is that happening to teachers as well? The last question perhaps that I would like to ask is, when you advertised 24 positions, and you filled only 19, when will the remaining positions be filled, or they simply fall off? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question to the department falls under Program 3. And I just want to understand from the department what, shall I continue? I just want to ask from the department what oversight role the department is playing in regard to education, labor relations, and conditions of service within the provinces. I see here that the protocols have been concluded, but there are serious issues of labor issues
particularly in the Mpumalanga province, that has come to our attention, where the conditions of employment in terms of issues such as victimization have not been addressed, when grievances have been put out against senior management within schools, as well as the conditions of those schools that are seriously impeding the learning of children. It is a serious matter that is, when we look at the department presenting the progress, one walks away with a sense of progress and that the department is doing well. But once you're in the provinces, the failure of our system to really provide conducive environments for our teachers and our learners are highlighted. And we really need, Chair, to ask the department to provide the committee with some kind of, especially on the issues that we are raising when it comes to this, to come to us and give us an indication what the department is doing within the provinces in terms of oversight. To address those issues, because it is these issues that's actually bringing the performance of the department down, so that you can't see the major improvements that they're doing, because in the provinces what the department is doing is not implemented or it is not followed in terms of guidelines.
DG, when it comes to regionalization of schools and closing the smaller schools, especially in the Eastern Cape, we sit with a challenge of learner transport, where you will find that service providers are not paid on time, and meaning kids would then not be taken to school, or parents are actually taking out money to transport their learners to school. Do you ever get a report from the provincial education departments regarding learner transport and outstanding payments to service providers, because this is creating a challenge, especially in area and rural areas. Also with special needs, the LSA teachers that I spoke to say the challenge that they have is you can identify a learner who has got a learning barrier, but then what happens, the time frame in order to get that child properly screened and to get that child who really needs to go into a different special needs school, it's very long. So I didn't read the CS document yet, but is there a time frame where this can take place? Because universities try to step in, but it's a long process for that to happen. Then we have also found out with inclusive education, when you go to school, some schools don't actually understand the policy or the implementation of inclusive education. Because what is happening at primary schools now, kids that have been identified as having learning barriers are being placed in a separate class away from the other learners. And that is creating another form of discrimination, and it's not fitting the purpose for inclusive education that was initially intended for. Have you come across such reports from the PE Provincial Education Department? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. On the summary that was made by the DG, he mentioned that for this quarter there is an increase of indicators for, let me focus on program 2 and program 4 that have increased this year, but there is on program 2, there is one that was not achieved, and on program 4, there are two that were not achieved. So I want to get a clarity on the reason why the deviation, or why there was no, that they were not achieved. The second one is on the number of parents that are not paying school fees. About, you mentioned about 9 million in the report, or more than that, and I'd want to check on the issue of the foreigners that come and collect the textbook or the study material and leave the country. How are you accounting for that? You know, how are you balancing on issue of accountability on that matter? And also, are there all the schools getting necessary textbooks? Are all schools covered on that matter? The last one is on the case that was reported by the DM on the issue of the Western Cape Education Department of Education. I acknowledge that we would have a progress report on what is been transpiring in this province, because it's seen as one of the most progressive provinces, and it's really one of the provinces that I think it has a high number of inequality. So we'd want to check and have a report back on how this case has been finalized. Thank you.
DG, can you just also tell us, in terms of the yourself with your stakeholders and your teachers' unions, what is the relationship, or how are the relationship that you are having, particularly in terms of the teacher development program? And I understand you visit frequently the provinces, and that is where you are able to say whether the provinces are performing or not. And in terms of performance, if they do not perform, are there consequences for the principals, or rather the district directors? And even if they do perform well, do you probably try to find ways of keeping them, or at least remunerate them for that? My observation is that the report is very good. I think most members have raised that. But there is still a challenge, which I think is going to be a challenge that will be there in terms of your ACD program. What, in your view, as the accounting officer, you think how probably can there be assistance? And is there a concurrent between the national office and your provincial departments in terms of finding solutions in your infrastructure, particularly in your infrastructure programs? If I'm not mistaken, I think for this program, you spent already about 33% in terms of your school nutrition program. What does it mean in terms of us carrying the financial year till March next year? Thanks, DG. You can then DM, probably start with responses if you would want to respond on something, and then the DG will. Oh, okay then. All right, DG, over to you.
Yeah, Chair, I was still busy organizing the questions according to the line functions, but it's fine. Let me start with infrastructure challenges. Colleagues will come in and help me. They are here. There are challenges of infrastructure, and infrastructure delivery was carried out with the understanding that the line function department called Public Works, which will help us, and therefore, in fact, there was an understanding throughout the country that you don't need to set up a unit of infrastructure and education departments, because Public Works exist for that. For that reason, is their mandate. But we now know that even with that capacity that you have at Public Works, there is a need to check up infrastructure units in provincial education departments and indeed at DVE. And the education infrastructure grant provides for employment of built environment expertise. We've made provision for that. That's the first thing. So that no sphere of government says we don't have the requisite expertise because we don't have the resources to provide for them. EIG, a deliberate effort was made to designate a sizable amount of that budget. And by the way, EIG is around 10 billion rands, which is distributed, 10 billion rands per annum, distributed to the 9 provinces. A small portion of it could be used for other things, but is distributed to provinces. Close to 1.4 billion is allocated to ACD. Allocated to ACID. So what has happened at the Department of Basic Education nationally? We are resourcing from an expert point of view the infrastructure unit. I think we all agree, including National Treasury, that we urgently need expertise from national level to even guide what happens at provincial level, which was not there before, I must be very honest, which was not there before. If it was there, it was on a very ad hoc, not on a permanent basis. We are also engaging with DPSA, Department of Public Service and Administration, to allow us to build an organizational structure that will oversee close to 12 billion rands that taxpayers allocate towards infrastructure in 9+1 education department. So we are working with DPSA on that. Yesterday, we got a chief engineer, a chief quantity surveyor, a senior planner that reported to DBE. We have recruited them. It also answers some of the questions that say about your vacancies, when are you going to fill them, and so on. Three of them reported yesterday. At a national level. At provincial level, I'm sure Mr. Mafuku could be able to indicate just to us which provinces have appointed those expertise at provincial level.
Can you report to that? And also, if this technical system, you're going to be better than that, are they not supposed to be in progress? Because this program is not useful to say how are we doing this. You're going to be talking about the money is going for it.
No, not exactly. Not exactly. ACD is at national level. EIG is transferred to provinces.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
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 The technical system. Yes. Are they not supposed to be provinces?
Then how do we implement ACD?
ACD is national.
And by the way, at national level, we are also implementing some of the schools ourselves, because implementing agents have failed us. So you need those expertise at national level, but also to oversee what happens at provincial level, because you need to the supervision and support that you need to provinces, you need to provide to provinces. If you don't have the requisite expertise, how will you be able to say to provinces, you are not doing this right? You need the experts to be able to do that.
Where is Mr. Mafuku? Is he?
Yeah.
Breakdown in terms of different provinces, and as at the end of the quarter, 516 of those posts had been filled, 182 posts had not been filled, which gives us a rate of 74% of posts that have been filled. I need to indicate, Chair, also that the challenge that we have, we also have a breakdown in terms of the different skills, your engineer, quantity surveyor, architect, and so on. The challenge that we have is that we are able to recruit engineers and architects in rural provinces, but unfortunately we are unable to retain them. As soon as a vacancy appears in another province or in the private sector, they are quick to move from Kimberley or from Polokwane or from Free State to move to better areas. So in Gauteng, provinces like Gauteng, Western Cape, KZN, we have almost a fully fledged organogram in those provinces. But the biggest challenge that we have is in the rural provinces. As DG indicated, we are also in talking to the Department of Public Service and Administration in order to come up with retention strategies, especially in rural provinces for those types of people. Thank you, Chief.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Mafuku. So I've answered on challenges in infrastructure broadly and challenges as they relate to ASIDI. Now, Chair, because you are going to come back and your assessment is spot on, we will come back at some point, the assessment will say we have not achieved what we are supposed to achieve. How it works with ASIDI, right from inception, if you don't achieve your targets for this year, and we go to next year, we don't forget about what you could not achieve this year. We carry it over to the next financial year. Now, what it means is that the targets are carried over, but the finances are not necessarily carried over. Because if you don't use your allocation, Treasury takes it and reappropriates it elsewhere. If you look at the history of ASIDI, that characterizes the problem. Not entirely bad. There are 2-3 years where we managed to even overheat the expenditure. In fact, we went well over and Treasury gave us an extra 800 million because we had exceeded far more than what was allocated to us. But historically, if you take it from 2012, that has been the challenge. You don't achieve this financial year, then the targets are carried over to the next financial year. But in terms of the requisite capacity and the expertise, we are addressing that. I got stopped at the point where I was saying we are continuing to even get more experts. We need more project managers. We need architects. We need even an engineer or two to help us with this project. And fortunately, Treasury is supporting us this time. The challenge that we have is DPSA. DPSA is saying, well, the view of government is that we need to narrow the salary bill. Treasury says you need these guys because they can see you've got close to 12 billion rands. You don't have the requisite expertise to oversee that. It's a recipe for disaster. So we are trying to find one another. Chair, you've asked about consequences and rewards. There are rewards for good performance Ms. Chobeka in the district operate, provincial and district coordination has been running a an excellence awards for districts, and in our view, it's been able to motivate districts to compete amongst each other and even perform more. The scheme involves even taking them overseas to go and learn about how to improve education systems and to learn from their peers overseas. That scheme, in our view, has worked. The reason why particularly the grade 12 results have been improving in a very sustained manner, we believe that is attributable to that. Number two, we have the National Teaching Awards. Honorable members are invited even to that annual event of the National Teaching Awards, where some, in fact, let me not say some, teachers are even getting cars that are donated. They are not bought by the department. They come from sponsors. But we don't believe that that is enough. You've got Honorable King, because he's fresh from the classroom, was reminding me about IQMS. And by the way, we've recently paid 0.5. On the 29th of August, teachers received their 0.3, and many of them that I met over the weekend and so on said to me, thank you, we've received 0.3%. That's over and above the 1%. If you look at it holistically, I'm sure Dr. Whittle and others can work it out. It goes to close to 9% or even more if you look at it holistically. I can see Honorable Murat Setla is very happy about that. It's a pity he's left the system, otherwise he would have received his 0.5. Relationship with stakeholders, well, to be honest, I can say so far so good. But in the education sector, you know what's happening today, you know what happened yesterday, you don't know what lies in tomorrow. And anything can trick, you know, a sour relationship. But we're managing it for the past 5 to 10 years. I can attest to the fact that the leadership that has been there from the minister, the deputy minister, have been able to secure a very sound relationship with our stakeholders, including teacher unions in particular. Even when industrial action happened, it didn't happen against us. It happened against National Treasury when there were issues around negotiating for improvement of conditions of service. They didn't march to DBE, they marched to Treasury, and they got what they were asking for. So I can say that so far, well, the relationship seems to be good. What will happen tomorrow, I don't know. Honorable Aduns, and pardon me if I've not pronounced it correctly, and I know I'm going to get double blows for that. The DM will respond to what's going to happen to the case of the Western Cape. We also said the matter is in court, and it involves SATU, and I should have also indicated that Equal Education has also joined to take Western Cape to court on the Western Cape Education Act, on the same provisions that SATU has taken them to court about to be declared unconstitutional. About learners who collect LTSM and collect other resources that we have in the system, we know that it happens in Limpopo from learners in Zim. We know that it happens in Mpumalanga from learners from Mozambique and Swaziland. We also know that it happens in KZN from learners from Swaziland. It also happens in the Free State from those from from Lesotho. All those provinces that are bordering neighboring countries, education here is in the main free. In those countries, it is not. And it's a reality. And I hope the political leadership will also address it at SADC, at other levels and so on. And the reason why we are raising it, Honorable Atunz, is that we are also appealing to you as public representatives to help us deal with a matter that is very difficult and vexing for us to deal with. We are unable to deal with it successfully because when we say we only provide for learners with valid IDs, we are taken to court to say, no, open up your schools for all learners. And now opening them up for all learners, then it means that you even open your schools up for learners who should not be benefiting from what is provided in the system. Program 3 and 4. I thought program 4, I did indicate that the reason why we are lagging behind with sanitation and water is because money that is allocated for the SAFE program was moved in February when it was initially allocated to provinces for EIG. When we approached Treasury, it was only moved in February. And it required us to follow the processes of even requesting Treasury to approve the implementing agents that we are going to use and then move the money. And all of this could only afford us to start with the activities in May, which we have done. And we are confident that that money is going to be used in this financial year. Program 2, about the matter that I didn't explain, Dr. Maboya will explain it. It involves advocacy in rural education program. Advocacy happened in the previous financial year. But all that I said is that any activity that still remains, which has to be carried out, when we come to report next time, that activity would have been carried out, which is still outstanding from the advocacy program of rural education program. Honorable King, some of the schools place learners with barriers to learning in a separate classroom. Well, maybe before even attempting to respond to that one, I would be happy to get details so that we can investigate. There might be a reason to separate learners, not permanently, for some time. For instance, you know, in the Northwest, when I was an HOD there, we used to have blind units that are attached to mainstream classrooms. And then they were used for that purpose because at that time it was difficult for teachers to mainstream learners who were blind into, you know, the rest of the learners. And that was accepted because it didn't have anything untoward. The screening, assessment and identification of learners and their placement, I agree with you. It takes a while because of the non-availability of some of these facilities. Gauteng has moved and we are encouraging other provinces to move like Gauteng to build more schools for learners with special education needs. It is indeed true. We don't have all of them placed because you don't really have facilities for all of them when they are ready for placement. Rationalization, it presents learner transport challenges is because of poor planning. Because when we rationalize, we should have provision of learner transport in mind. And that's what we are trying to remind our colleagues about. Mr. Parayaki, I think that program falls under him. He's got a team that is working with provinces to make sure that you take issues of teachers, issues of transport, and all of those things into account so that you don't just rationalize without providing for that. But I do know that there are instances in provinces like Eastern Cape and others where you find that schools have been merged but learners have not been provided transport. And the team is addressing that. Honorable Sukir, I hope I'm pronouncing it right this time. I battled last time. Oversight on labor relations in provinces, we do exercise oversight, but as you would accept, as I respectfully submit, that it's not always possible to know about everything that happens, and we are more than happy to have our attention drawn to anything that is untoward. And Mpumalanga is the case in point. We'll have to follow that up and check what is happening there. Failure of the system to ensure conducive conditions or favorable conditions for learners and teachers. We are trying again. We'll continue to do our best that those conditions do exist. So working with you will help us to attend to those cases where this does not exist. Honorable Siela, registration of learners. Well, I hope Mr. Paraki or somebody will help me. I thought it's in our policy. I've not checked this out in terms of how the registration and admission of learners should be done, what are the requisite documents and so on. It's provided for. We provide policy. National provides policy. Then the province communicates the policy through a circular. And that's why even the litigation, I think we are the first respondent in the case, because the challenge is not only the circular, it's also the policy that regulates that. And then the performance of teachers, grade 12 results and so on, the rewards come in different forms. The National Teaching Awards is one of them. But I wish we could do more. And I think if we get money somewhere, I can assure you we'll fight and make sure that it goes towards teachers who carry the system, who make sure that we perform better. But as I said, Mrs. Kyobeka from the Excellence Awards districts are catered for, and we actually looking forward to even do more than what you are doing at the moment. And Honorable King also reminded me, he said, what about IQMS, as you were talking there? Remaining vacancies, I mean, interviews are going on. Yesterday there were posts. Mr. Kuno was chairing a panel. So we're actually looking at filling all the vacant, substantive, and funded posts. And then Honorable Van der Waals. Honorable Van der Waals, implementing agents. We are more than willing to give you a list. There are 10 of them, Mr. Mafuku, 10. You know almost by heart. There are 10 of them, starting with National Public Works up to Provincial Public Works. They are implementing agents. So we can give you a list. And we can also tell you what makes them implementing agents. And we take them through the same test. When we allocate projects, we take them through the same scrutiny. It doesn't matter whether you are a government entity or not, the criteria is the same. The only difference is that we're able to transfer to them. If you are not a government entity, we don't transfer. We pay you as you do your work, which is the difference.
Specifically on that, I think there are CD implementing agents, there are 10. But in the provinces, what is the criteria used to get you implementing agents? Because I think the 10 that you're talking about are only for national, for the RCD.
Okay. Most of the implementing agents do operate in most of the provinces, or probably not all, because Kuha will be predominant in the Eastern Cape, KZN, and maybe a few other provinces. But provincial executive councils in the provinces have also taken decisions in some provinces that the implementing agent will be public works only. And that's why you have problems of non-delivery and money getting returned, especially in those provinces that say public works only. I don't want to mention them here, but I know you know them. So it would vary, therefore, Honorable Machesi, from one province to the other. Those that set public works only, the only implementing agent is public works, particularly for EIG. For ACD then, you know, the decision lies with national, and we decide who becomes the implementing agent there. And we use all of them anyway. Still, Honorable van der Walt, Honorable van der Walt wanted to know what happens to expelled learners. Expelled learners have got to be counseled in a way, rehabilitated in a way, and we take them back to schools. We don't have stood school anymore. We don't have that. We don't have reformatory schools. We do have centers of children in conflict with the law, but the children were supposed to be in prison. And then those centers are actually mended by the Department of Correctional Services. So we don't have stood school. Part of the problem with the Western Cape Education Act is advocating for stood school. That's one of the, the what is being challenged in court. And then Honorable van der Walt also asked a question about teachers who might be offenders for years before the current dispensation. I think if the offense is recorded and can be accepted as such, I'm not a lawyer, I'm a paralegal, Chris and others can explain that. If it's known and it can be verified and tested, I think they can be taken through the necessary processes and maybe be placed under the same register that other teachers are placed on. But whether you can apply the law retrospective, then the lawyers can advise. I'm sure Chris can explain that one. Payment of markers, so far, Mr. Ferreira, seems to be good. There used to be a problem in Limpopo. And I think, by the way, even for October, November exams, most markers are even paid before Christmas. And we've made it a norm that the best way we can say thank you for the selfless sacrifice is to put a smile on their face as they face the expenses of the festive season by giving to them what they deserve. And part of what we do when we go around to marking centers is to remind provinces about that. And in fact, the majority of them do that. Honorable Machesi, NIDU, Ms. Choreka is the line function manager, is the CEO now for NIDU. If you want to know, Ms. Choreka is the CEO. Reports, there are reports from NIDU, workbook one, workbook two, and now the use of workbooks. Schools that work. Schools that work one, and schools that work two. And now, as we reported to you, they were working on the utilization of workbooks. And those reports can be presented to you whenever you instruct us to bring them. Luritz is intended to capture learner data, as the name goes. Learner record database, it captures that. So that whatever we need about learners, if you need information, you get into Luritz. That system is intended to do exactly that, to capture data for learners. It helps to triangulate even the information with what we get from Home Affairs, whether you've got the right birth date and all of those things. You have not forged your birth date so that you are able to link systems. We're doing that to check it with Home Affairs, whether you have not given us false documents. Yeah, the systems are able to talk to each other. Auditors in PED being threatened and intimidated, I thought the AG responded to this matter, Chair, to say in basic education it has not happened. They are waiting for that day. But I said to you, why didn't you ask us whether we're not getting intimidated by them at times? Oh, 8% of learners passed. Now, I appreciate the question that is being raised. But you must remember that the nature of the exam, it should not be compared with the end of the year exam. These are people who have written one subject, two subjects, three subjects, and they'll be collecting them like that. And I suspect that in Parliament, you would have some of the people who got their certificates through that process. No, I'm talking about the senior certificate and national senior certificate exams. So you shouldn't be that puzzled. You should be saying to us, what progress are you making? How many of these people are close to meeting the requirements of the certificate? Because some of them, remember, founding policies of the education system talk about multiple entry levels and multiple exit levels and finishing at your own pace. Now, the media should not put pressure on us to say that these adults and young people are out of the system. If they don't meet the requirements this year, next year all of them must be gone. And some of them must be working. That's why they are unable to finish all the subjects this year. So that's the explanation, Honorable Machesi, that I can give. But I do accept that we need to provide more support to them to get more of them meeting the requirements. That I accept. Teachers don't want to be assessed. Well, we present to the Honorable Committee diagnostic assessment on mathematics, on physical science, on English first additional language. Teachers don't refuse to be assessed. But teachers are saying the results of the assessment should not be used against them. Like all others, you know, like all of us, you wouldn't like your results to determine your development to be used against you. So no teacher is saying they don't want to be assessed. But they are being assessed. We present those reports to you of the assessment. We even undertook, Honorable King, when he presented the fourth quarterly report, he said, can you make those available? Even though you don't put individuals, just show us what are the gaps and so on. We said we'll do that. Honorable Murotseta. Presidential Commission on Remuneration of Teachers. Hey, this one we deflected it to the DPSA because that commission was supposed to have been, it was actually appointed by the DPSA. You know what happened? The retired judges were appointed, about two of them. They couldn't do their work. Some of them retired, some of them even passed on, but the work has not been done. We'll just have to follow up with the DPSA. I know that for as long as you are around here, you'll remind us about that. So we'll definitely follow up with DPSA to say that this is an unfinished business. Post-provisioning norms, there's a policy on the post-provisioning model. There was a research which was conducted by Deloitte, which indicated that the policy was implemented in an uneven manner. It was, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, Dr. Whittle, if I'm not mistaken. We shared that report with provinces, and we advised provinces to adhere to the policy. But you also need to allow for flexibility for provinces. There are provinces that can review the post basket every year. For some, it's too disruptive. They would prefer to do it every 3 years. And we leave that flexibility to provinces. If there's a need to consider a uniform approach, we'll engage provinces and see what comes out of that. I think I've responded to the rural education slide about, I've explained what happened there. It was about advocacy. And we're saying an activity that is outstanding there in terms of advocacy will come back. And I think you're right, Honorable Murat-Seta, by saying it's not 160 schools, it's centers. Because in a center, you'd have several schools. So we might have missed that one. I think you're absolutely right. The issue of transport and sometimes even food, we are addressing with provinces. And I can only agree. I can't agree more with you on that. I'm sure that colleagues can just fill me in where I've not been adequate in responding to questions of honourable members. Mr. Kuno is the chair.
Thanks, Chair. Just to zoom in on the one on the 25 posts, not to overkill 24 posts. Yes, we filled 19 as at the end of the first quarter. Of the outstanding 5 posts, filling of 3 has been approved and candidates started duty yesterday on the 2nd of September. On the one post, approval to appoint the preferred candidate has been submitted to the DG, and then this official is expected to assume duty on the 1st of October. The outstanding post shortlisting has been approved by the minister on the 14th of August 2019. The HRM is in the process of arranging for interviews, and we estimate that the preferred candidate would start duty on the 1st of December. Thanks, Chair.
An issue on the winter classes or perhaps even holiday classes or holiday centers. As to the fact that we have not provided a report on the findings of our report. So I just wanted to highlight, Chair, that normally we do report, we do provide a detailed report on these winter classes or holiday classes or centers when we present to the portfolio committee the state of readiness for the writing of the end of year plan. So that particular report will still be coming and it will be detailed. I think the issue of transport, DG will have responded to that, but I just wanted to add that what districts and provinces normally do, they do have different modalities of providing this type of support. It would either be in your residential center or in walk-in center. So precisely to try to obviate the challenge of transport. But we do acknowledge that it could still be a problem in certain areas. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief. I think the team has covered almost all the questions. What we need to, which I know we understand as members, that South Africa, though a unitary state, but it has provinces, it's quasi, whatever. So, and provinces are given, in terms of the constitution, authority. And that's why there are things that we cannot, as a department, even if you want to hold somebody from a province and make that person to account. It's not easy, because there is a government in the province, there's legislature, there's a portfolio committee like this one, which holds the department accountable. There's a premier there, there's an executive, which is a cabinet in the province wherein people are accounting. So it's not easy that which implementing agents the provinces appoint, because provinces are making their own decisions and they have a right to do so. As the DC has indicated, we would love to, as basic education, including LTSM, would love that use this service provider because it's cheaper. But if at the provincial level they've taken their own decision to use service provider J, it's not easy. Yeah, include all the provinces, they have their rights. We can only sometimes give guidelines, and the guidelines, they will choose to follow guidelines. But in South Africa, we know that we have your Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act, which at least makes all of us to work together. That's why we have the structures in government, starting from the presidency, where he meets with premiers, ministers meeting with MECs, DGs meeting with HODs from departments, and technical committees from every area, whether it's labor relations, whether it's finance, they do meet so that at least we bring harmony in the way we do things. But there are things that we cannot change. Just like pushing them, holding them accountable on providers that are not paid within 30 days. We would have loved to, but the provincial government must do that. And which is what the president, when he's calling the premier, to say, do that. And that's what they also promised to do. Chair, the question on the Western Cape case, as DG has correctly put it, before all these other people came into the space, we engaged with the department. We indicated those areas which are inconsistent with the South African Schools Act. But we cannot come with an act which is inconsistent with the superseding act, because any act in South Africa must be inconsistent with the Constitution, and the National Act must also be consistent with the Constitution. Provincial acts must be consistent with the National Act. So the some of the provisions in that provincial act are moving sideways along with the South African Schools Act. We could not, as a department, say we are taking our sister department to court, as DG indicated. The law does not allow us to do so. We can use other mechanisms of solving. So it's just now, it puts us into a challenge. Because when a child gets into a pit toilet, that case is against the minister in South Africa. In a toilet, in a school, in the province, and in a district, in the circuit, in a school. But that case will be against the minister. So now it puts the minister in a very awkward situation, that now her own education department in the Western Cape has done something which they defied her advice. So that's why I'm saying everything the minister, like why in natural state, the minister is accountable for basic education in South Africa. But the actual work is done in provinces. So Western Cape sometimes will behave like it's a national. Yeah. Yeah, it's a republic. Yeah, that's the right way. Maybe. I think sometimes they behave like they want to be autonomous. And they can never be autonomous outside all of us. So now we have this case. So it will look like as the department, instead of us supporting our colleagues who say, yeah, they are wrong, and that we can't do. Minister cannot do that. So we must just find a way on how to handle this situation. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Vanderbilt, she's got a follow-up there.
Indeed, I do. Obviously, amendments are always possible in any act or a private member's bill. But, Chair, just listening to the Minister, and we started with the AG, where we have accounting officers for everything in every department. So, indeed, if the MEC of Education in the province doesn't perform well, the accounting officer is the Premier, so we should fire the Premier. And if the Premiers don't do their job, the accounting officer would be the President, because he appoints the Premier, so then we must get rid of the President. So that's the rule of accounting officers that you've just explained.
Yeah, in terms of the Public Service Act, obviously the President is responsible for the Republic, and he will assign that responsibility to the Premier, who will in turn assign to the MEC. And you cannot jump from another level to hold jumping other levels someone accountable. Say, now I want to change the Premier if the President has not pronounced on the matter. So I'm saying we need to allow those processes. Yes, we can initiate that this Premier is not doing good, and then it will be assessed. It's not that by a word of mouth and on your maybe proof, but it will depend from what angle. Then you say this Premier is not effective. But indeed, the accounting officer, as in administration, is in terms of the Minister of Public Finance Management Act. But the Public Service Act is the establishment of the government institutions. Thank you.
Now we are at the end of the of the interaction with the department. Thank you very much, DM, DG, and all the officials. Can we give you 3 minutes to match yourselves out so that we just conclude?
By the way, sir, it's a busy week for committees.
It's almost 1 o'clock. Can we? There's the plenary at two, ne? Two or three? Two. And members still need to have lunch. Honorable King, Honorable Sukar. We've got the Can we just adopt the minutes of the 27th of August? The meeting was in room E29. We had a briefing on faith and the and Umalusi, and we also adopted the minutes of that previous week. On page 1, it's the members that were present. Page 2, page 3, it's the introduction. And the agenda was moved by Honorable Shabalala and seconded by Honorable Ngobo. We had a presentation from SAIS, and we had a presentation from Umalusi, and then on page 7 is the observations that were made on Umalusi. On page 8 is observation made on SAIS, and then the responses from both the entities are on page 9 and 10, and we concluded the meeting and the meeting adjourned at 12:35. Are there any corrections that members probably have seen, or can we move for the adoption?
No, we can adopt, but then I want to make a comment on an outstanding contract.
Okay, thank you. You would recall at the end of Ask SAIS for that column that they had where the figures didn't match. And the lady presented, they said they offended it. Can we just do a follow-up on that? Thank you.
Mr. Brown, please just make a follow-up on that. Can we then move? Can you move, Honorable Van der Waal? You are moving. Seconda? Honorable Shabalala? Thank you very much. And then, honorable members, the last matter, we've got an invitation. Yo, my apologies. Sorry, man. What's that? Oh, the fourth quarterly report. We need to... What is this? Is it minutes? We need to adopt the... The quarterly report, I think it is, you do have its members. On page 1 is the introduction, on page 2 is the performance indicators and targets, page 3 is the achievement of the fourth quarterly report, and then, page 2, sorry, and the performance against the indicators and targets, and then you've got your program 1, program 2 on page 3, the quarterly targets, and then you've got biannual targets on page 4, and page 5 you've got annual targets. On page 6 it continues, on page 7 you've got program 3. Program 3 continues with its annual targets, and then on page 10 you've got program 4, and then program 4 continues with its annual and quarterly targets. On page 4 you've got program 5, and then it has got quarterly and annual targets as well, and then on page 18 we've got the deviations per program, and it dealt with all the programs, the five programs, and then you've got the deviation per economic classification, and then those are the allocations against the expenditure for 2018-19 financial year on page 20, and then you've also got a detail of an earmark allocation, the conditional grant, and then you've got on page 22 the deviation for economic classification with 5.6.1, which is earmarked funding, And then on page 23, we had our portfolio committee observations, which goes till page 25. And on page 25, we also have the committee recommendations. That's the report of quarter four, honorable members. Agreed? Can we move in second, please? Honorable Mrotetla, honorable.
Madam Chairperson, can we humbly move to support that
is good. And seconded by Honorable Shabalala. Then, honorable members, the Committee on Sport, Arts and Culture is inviting all of us on a meeting on the 18th of September. It's on a Wednesday that week. They've got a meeting which deals with the Memorandum of Understanding on School Sports and Artists in School Program, Social Cohesion and National Building. So it's their portfolio committee. They invite us to attend it because it is about the Memorandum of Understanding that sports has with education on school sports and artists. So those members that will be able to attend, it's on the 18th, it's on a Wednesday, 9:30, and as soon as Mr. Brown gets the venue, he will let us know where the venue will be.
Is it mandatory or optional?
Both.
Sure.
Both. Both. It's mandatory. I think we will all be here anyway, and it's not our committee work. So I one is just requesting that we all avail ourselves.